Christy Martin, the superintendent of Washington Local Schools. Welcome to Scoop with a Soup, where you will get firsthand information on what's going on in Washington Local Schools, where every student matters and every moment counts. Hello, today I am here with Dr. Bob Gulick, who is our Director of Technology in the Washington Local District and has been for a while. So I'm going to let him introduce himself here.
Greetings. My name is Dr. Bob Gulick. I've actually been with the district for 15 years as of January.
That's
so it was unusual crazy. That I started mid-school year way back then in 2010, but the opportunity was here and the district was looking and it all worked out very well.
That's all she wrote. Right?
Where did you come from? What was your history?
I actually started off as a elementary school teacher. In Parma.
What grade?
Primarily fifth grade.
Gosh, tough age.
Mm-hmm. Well, but we had loads of fun.
And what did you teach?
We were departmentalized way back then, and I handled the high math, science, and health. And then we all, of course, also took care of our own reading groups. So.
Wow. So talk a little bit about what does the Director of Technology, what is your job? What do you do here in Washington Local? remember, we only do these 12 to 15 minutes, Dr. Bob.
Yeah, exactly. In short, I always say that if it plugs in, it's our fault.
Ooh.
Because basically, odds are if it plugs in and it's a less than 110 volts, we're going to be involved one way or another. The more obvious things are the Chromebooks that the students have and the classroom technology that's there in terms of the smart boards or the ViewSonic boards or the audio enhancement systems that are there. Or like right now, we're working on the new clock PA system. That falls under us. The door access control system, that falls under us. The copiers and the printers falls under us. HVAC control systems falls under us. I learned a great deal about elevators when we opened up Shoreland and Silver Creek because those are controlled on our network and the access is controlled on our network. So pretty much everything you see will in some way, shape, or form be part of technology.
Well, and we felt that this fall when we had an issue with a car accident across town and there was a NOAACA, which is, I guess, where everything goes through. But we closed, and again, some people question why would you close? And 10 years, even 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have had to, but everything is connected now. I mean, our phones, our computers, our safety system. So I think what you said is exactly why we closed, because you literally, when our technology goes down, the district or the building definitely goes down.
Correct. In that situation, since we had absolutely no internet access to the district whatsoever, that meant that we had no way of recording attendance in PowerSchool, and there was no way to send out the information regarding absences.
Which is the law.
Which is the law. Mm-hmm. Those are the alerts that we want to make sure the parents know, hey, your student did not show up today. That's critical that we get that out. Mm-hmm. And with no phone system, there was no way for parents to contact us to tell us their student was not going to be here. And there was no way for us to verify the student was supposed to be here. So unfortunately, it is a critical system now. Mm-hmm. And so that's why NOAACA does, and they are our Buckeye or, you know, T-Mobile. They're our
provider, yeah.
Our provider. That's how we get things done.
Well, you listed like 30 things that you're responsible for. How big is your team?
Well, I was going to say that. You're using the word we and us. So so I'm assuming that there's more than just one of you. Let's share for everyone else. Okay. Who is your team? What does that look like?
Probably the most obvious people that people in the district and people in the buildings will see are the building technicians. There are six break-fix technicians. Not that they break things, but when things are broken, when a help desk ticket comes in, they're the ones that are in the buildings interacting with the staff directly to say, okay, we are here to take care of those things. Back at home base, we also have a secretary help desk person, actually also the inventory system people. So whenever there's toners or any new shipment comes in, so when we get in our 1,800 Chromebooks every summer, she is the one who is responsible for making sure all that gets into the inventory and all it gets pre-processed so that the techs can take it out to the building. And then we also have one network manager. He's even more invisible, but more critical, because he manages all the servers that everything runs on. He's the one who's responsible for keeping all those up and running and updated. And he's also the one who takes care of updating all of the computers and all the devices that are out there because, well, we had a department meeting this morning and he announced, okay, we only had like 7 or 8 changes that came down from Microsoft. We have a new update coming from our Edge protection, our used to be called antivirus. So all that has to be pushed out. The filtering system has to be pushed out almost weekly in terms of updates. So he manages all of those things.
You have some very unique credentials that I know in the last couple of years you've kind of worked on and earned. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about those?
So cool. Super cool.
Basically, my impetus for learning more about cybersecurity and being able to investigate cyber incidences was to make sure, in the parlance, is to not to step on the evidence. So if there is a problem, if there is a question, if there is a need to investigate, I did not want to accidentally destroy evidence that would be useful to help. For example, we've had students who have unfortunately decided to leave their homes when they shouldn't have left their homes. We needed to be able to find out where that student went to, you know, so that they can be found and be safe. Well, if you do things wrong, you can actually end up destroying the evidence, the digital evidence. So as part of that concern, and also the desire to, well, how do I get that information? How do I dig in and actually find the data that either says, yes, this happened, or no, it did not happen? So I started down learning more about cyber investigations. And after a couple of different classes and courses, one of the instructors put me onto an international group. It's called IASIS, and it's an International Association of Computer Investigative Specialists. It is primarily a law enforcement organization. It is worldwide, and they offer tons of courses on how to properly investigate and how to collect the evidence and how to do it safely and accurately. People from all sorts of different agencies, from last time I was there, a gentleman to my right was with the Michigan Highway Patrol. I've met people that were with the Internal Affairs for Border Patrol. The people behind me one time were from South Korea. I forget which agency they were from, but basically their version of FBI. Oh, yes, our FBI was there, too. So
you all investigate crimes.
That their main thing is investigating crimes. I cannot investigate crimes because I'm not law enforcement, but what I can do is, and have done, is I collect the evidence that we have access to, and I can hand it off as required.
With fidelity, because it's done right.
It's safe. It's accurate. They can know that, okay, this information is accurate and repeatable.
Wow. Yeah. So, no, it's
intense.
And I've seen some things that you've had to kind of dive into, and it really is amazing, kind of the work that you do. It's sometimes hard to stump you. Every once in a while, we can stump you, but
not but often.
You're pretty good at that. It's 2025. What's new in 2025 for you and your department? Any future projects or what things are you working on?
The big thing for the opening of the 2025-2026 school year, by the way, we're working on 2025-2026 right now, because we have to do things several months in advance. But the big one right now is the copier replacement project, because we do a 5-year lease on our copiers and our printer support. That is going to be released, actually, by the time this comes out, it will be released, because August of 25, the new equipment needs to be in place.
Well, Bob, have those numbers diminished? Have we saved the district any money because people are using more digital than they used to make copies, or are people still copying at the same ferocious rates we always did?
Unfortunately, we are copying and printing about 15 million pages a year.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And unfortunately, and I understand the desire, our ratio of monochrome to color has been swinging very strongly towards color.
Sure.
And unfortunately, color, as a round number, costs 8 cents a page.
Sure.
Versus monochrome, which is 1 cent a page. So even if we do a one-to-one swap, the costs are going up. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why we do this request for proposal, is we're going to get as many companies bidding on this concept to say, hey, how can we possibly save a little bit of money,
right?
Even though we do have the strong desire to print this much.
Well, you have so many kids who are used to digital entertainment and digital learning that if a teacher does need to give them paper, I understand the want the desire for it to be in color, because mm-hmm. at bare minimum we're trying to keep them
It's visually appealing,
engaged,
right. We are trying to engage, and students are used to having technology in front of them that's very engaging, so yes, that makes sense.
It's a matter of making sure that the use of color is imperative to get the message across,
right?
For example, you know, like AutoTech. You know, it really does help that they can tell the red wire from the green wire from the blue wire.
Seems important.
Okay? Yeah. But in terms of, oh, gee, you have a blue highlight, you know, blue link on a piece of paper.
Right.
You can't click on the piece of paper. So there's really no need for that blue. So judiciously print.
Right.
Think before you print.
Communication. I know we talk a lot about when something in a district, so there, I guess this will be for internal people and community members, but talk a little bit about how we should be communicating with your department if there's issues. I mean, I know you've done this, but I'm mm-hmm. still going to ask.
For the internal department, internal staff, help desk, that is the most important, critical, fastest way for people to get assistance with anything, is by putting in a help desk ticket.
It's essentially a line, right? You're getting in line.
Right. It's a queue system, and it automatically routes to the correct person. Because remember, there's not just me, it's not just your building tech. There are several people that can jump in. And when one person is absent, we actually do have pre-planned who's the secondary person for that building. And so putting in a ticket is the best way to get help on the inside. Now, if we're talking about a student who's having a problem with their Chromebook, we now have the testing and technology monitors in every single building. That is the person that is their primary first touch of contact for any sort of technology problem, because they are trained. They can even replace screens there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been working with them. They've got skills. So you can go to them and they can help you with many, many different things. And if they can't, then they will help put in a ticket for a student or guide a staff member on how to put it in. Now, if we're talking about communications with the community, if the community needs to talk to us, we, of course, do have our social media, but we also have several different forms on our public website for people to say, hey, I need to send a message to transportation or about Chromebooks or about anything else. You know, I want to talk to the board. It's all on the public website. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of us communicating with our guardians and our parents and whatnot, we are now using School Messenger. Our previous program basically shut down their shop, so we had to quickly switch over to School Messenger. One of the critical things there is that the guardians need to register their texting number. If they don't register their texting number, and that's that classical thing of text Y to mm-hmm. this number, mm-hmm. If they do not do that, and if that phone number is not in our PowerSchool system, they will not receive text messages.
So they're not going to get that first delay or closing that I get to make. I mean, I've been waiting here for 5 months now.
We keep hearing about this.
I know. So if they don't text in and opt in, then they'll miss that lovely text from me when I finally, at some point now in 2025, get to, you know, call my first delay or closing.
And they're supposed to text Y to 67587.
Perfect.
And that will get them enrolled in the system so they never miss this mysterious snow day that our superintendent keeps promising.
I do. I'm going to be very disappointed if the weather doesn't cooperate. In closing, kind of with what you do, talk a little bit about, and I'm going to call it Senate Bill 29. I don't think everybody else will know it maybe as that, but mm-hmm. there's been some new rules here from the state. Can you talk?
Thank goodness.
Can you talk a little? There's been some rules this fall and then some changes in the rules. So
Senate Bill 29, as it originally came out in late August, early September, if it was a piece of homework a student had turned into me back in the classroom days, I would have given it back to them and said, nice first draft, please try again. The way it was written, unfortunately, we were sending out email alerts to guardians that their student had basically used the internet yesterday to about 6,000 students worth every day, because most students use the internet every single day. Now, other parts are, like, in terms of if their Chromebook is flagged as lost or stolen. That they do need to know about because, you know, they're responsible for that Chromebook. Whenever their student has done something that triggers the safety alerts. Mm-hmm. Now, in our district, our building teams do an awesome job. When they get those alerts, they are on the phone. Mm-hmm. They're talking to the parents right away. So getting this email the following morning, it's a classic thing of if you didn't hear from us, it wasn't a problem. Right. It was a false positive.
Right.
As an example, I did bring some numbers with me right now. Over the first week, as in January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, we averaged 900,000 lines of logs of students using the internet. During the school day, so Monday, we had 3.1 million. Oh, wow. Tuesday, we had 3.2 million.
Wow.
Now, originally, we would have had to inform about 6,000 students, guardians. So that'd be about 8,000 emails going out. Well, Monday, we under the new rules, which they got it right this time, we sent out 33 emails.
Oh, that seems more manageable.
And 39 emails. Now, we've got it all automated, because there was no way we were going to do 9,000 emails.
But as a parent, you're not going, I mean, those start to be insignificant because you're not even looking at them. And now as a parent, you're getting something. Again, you're probably getting a phone call. You are getting a phone call. There's a safety. But if it's something minor, you're going to get that email. And now you will look because you're not getting them daily, which is what.
Correct. It was spam. It was legally required spam. Mm-hmm. But now they've cleaned it up. They've made it much, much better. So much more manageable and meaningful.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Now, did parents unsubscribe during all those massives and now are not going to get important ones?
Occasionally we have had that happen, but fortunately they contact the building. The building puts in a help desk ticket to let us know we need to reactivate a certain email address or phone number. People do accidentally, inadvertently put themselves on the do not contact list. All they need to do is contact their school. The school will put a help desk ticket in for us to reactivate that account. No problem.
Got it.
All right. One thing, I'm going to put you on the spot here. So when I wrap up every episode, you've been in the district 15 years, and I do ask to share a moment or a memory or something that, since you've been in Washington Local, that really stands out as kind of significant to you. Do you have anything that you can think of as you've been in Washington Local that really stands out as a good moment for you?
Probably the way the district responded to the COVID situation in terms of, okay, we had to pivot and swivel and change and just do all this stuff to go from in person to instruction at a distance. And in terms of, okay, how do we quickly buy as many Chromebooks as we possibly can, just like every other district in the world.
We weren't the only ones.
We were not the only ones. But in terms of how everyone came together to say, okay, we're going to continue the instruction. And you know what? A lot of good has come out of that because we've continued on with how we're using technology as an instructional tool. Now, it shouldn't be the only tool.
Right.
It's a tool.
Right.
And so, but that ability to pivot and adapt and move on to something even better.
That's a great story to share, and we see that so many times with our staff. We just really have great people who do whatever is needed to be done for kids, and that was a great example when we were not prepared, but we quickly prepared ourselves. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I can't imagine the technological stress of that time for your department.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being on this episode, and I'm sure we're all going to be smarter for listening to this information. Thank you.
Put in a help ticket.
Yeah.
Yes. That's it for today's episode of Scoop with a Soup, the show where you will get firsthand information about why every student matters and every moment counts. If you have something you would like me to talk about in a future episode, please email me at kmartin@wls4kids.org. And until next time, go Panthers!